Okay, over to the right-hand side again, please.
Yes, good evening. How are you commenting on this huge and dramatic media crisis and newspaper crisis in the USA? Do you think that this is a consequence of this all for free culture? And how do you think? What do you think about these models which are discussed in newspapers in Germany, but also in the United States? I think to get paid for every quotation in a way. In Germany, there's a plan. There are plans by the newspapers to create a new sort of copyright, which would lead to this sort of practice.
So I think it's an enormous problem, newspapers, because the critical function that newspapers play, at least in the United States, is investigative journalism. And there is no business model to support investigative journalism right now in the internet space. In the United States, I read an article a couple of months ago that said that there were 4 newspapers that had more than 3 investigative reporters working for them in the whole of the United States. That's a decimation of this enormously important source of information about corruption in governments, about bad corporate practices, all these things that we need newspapers to support. So I don't, for a second, want to belittle the seriousness of this problem. But we got to recognize this problem has nothing to do with the copyright issues. Right? This problem is the byproduct of radically more efficient ways to deliver the sort of things that newspapers used to make all their money on. For example, classified ads, which Craigslist has decimated, right? So the Craigslist wasn't a copyright problem, it's just a better business model. So these are better business models that has destroyed the old business model of newspapers and forces us to think about new business models. Now, the suggestion that the solution is to expand the complexity of copyright in this space, I think would be a disastrous move. And the reason is to compare a problem that we don't even talk about, but is extraordinarily significant. Think about film. Think in particular about documentary film. In the United States, the practice for making documentary films the whole of the 20th century was that you're making a documentary film and you need a clip of a news from CBS, for example. You would contact CBS and say, we want to take 30 seconds from this segment where you were showing the sheriff firing water cannons on protesters to segregation in the South. We want to use 30 seconds of it in our film. And the standard license for that, number one said, you agree the only rights you have to quote our work in your film are governed by this license. So there's no fair use claim, it's only this license. Number two, the license says, we'll give you permission to quote our work for 5 years North American educational distribution. Well, what that means is after 5 years, you've got to go back and relicense all of those quotes to continue to make that film available, which means that literally 95% of documentary films made in the United States in the 20th century cannot legally be distributed today because they were all made under this system that basically sold the rights to further distribution down the road because there was no, it was just very hard to afford to be able to buy those universal perpetual rights up front. Now, nobody was thinking about that, right? When you're making a documentary film, you're thinking about the show that's going to be on PBS and you're not worried about building a library that we can actually get access to this culture in the future, but that's the consequence of carving up these rights even more narrowly and beginning to license them on that sort of per quote basis. By contrast, books are pretty good, right? When we basically have access to every book ever published. Right? You can either go into a library and physically see the book. If it's old enough, it can be digitized and made accessible for free. There's no continuing burden of copyright law or licensing that's restricting the access to books. Well, if we start moving to the model that you've described for newspapers or for books, then books and newspapers will be just like documentary films in the future. We won't have the right to get access to it. Right? And that would be, a devastating development in our access to our past. So I agree there's a problem. We got to think about a solution that subsidizes the production of this public good. But the idea of expanding IP complexity is, in my view, not the solution to that problem.
Okay, I haven't forgotten about you, but I'd just like to follow up on this question, because in your book you talk about, of course, the hybrid economy that's in the title, and you give examples of that hybrid economy, and of course one of these examples is Google with YouTube, and you argue that in this hybrid economy you have some in-between commercial economy and the sharing economy or the gift economy or whatever you want to call it. And people argue that, well, how can companies like Google profit from these from this creativity that people infuse into that system, and then YouTube goes and makes money off of it? Right now they're not making any money, but if you know Google as a company, you can probably not imagine that they at some point will not make money off of it. So it's there's at the same time right now, or has been for the last couple of weeks or months, a debate in the United States about Google News, because the publishers and AP, the press agency, argue that because Google is using their stuff for Google News, and they're linking to them, of course, and they're not showing the entire article, but still, they should be paid for this. Now, this is one side of the question. The other side of the question is indeed, and that is being debated on a small scale in Germany, and of course you cannot be familiar with all these debates that are going on all over the world, but that companies like Google, who are the new intermediaries, are supposed to pay, let's say, just into a fund to make up for this, to make up for the creativity they use for their own profits. What is your reaction to that?
Well, I don't oppose the idea of creating simple systems for collecting revenue to compensate the creation of public goods like news. As long as it's simple and it doesn't discriminate against the next Google, doesn't bias in favor of powerful companies like Google, that's fine. I think that might be the kind of balance that's necessary. That's just like the flat rate solution to the problem of peer-to-peer file sharing. It's a way to figure out what kind of compensation would help us reestablish the balance there. And I think we need more thinking like that. Like, what is the practical solution to the problem, as opposed to what is the religious war we can wage against people who are, quote, violating our rights?
Hi. How do you think could we take into account something that is codified in German copyright law, which is the right of the author to take back his work if he's no longer supporting it, if it's no longer his opinion, and which is sometimes just done by letting it go out of print and letting it vanish from the market. And I think the digitization thing is practically destroying that kind of right to take it back.
Yeah, it is. And it's, I mean, there's a number of dimensions, in particular of German law, which is, you know, you could broadly describe as the right to control your personality, or the memory about you, which is alien, really alien to American traditions. So I don't think I know how these two trends can coexist, these two interests can coexist. There's in my sense, there's not going to be any practical way to erase the past in the way that there was a practical way to allow something to go out of print. Now, I'm not a good person to defend that interest, because I don't actually believe in it much. I think if you don't want your work to be available and criticized and to be a source of embarrassment to you in the future or whatever, then you shouldn't be publishing your work. If you publish your work and put it out there and make it part of our culture and make it a source upon which we focus debate or criticism or our learning, then I think you lose control of it. And we pay you for that. That's what a copyright system is supposed to be. But it's your choice. Nobody's saying we should have the right to go into your diaries and open them up and publish them on the internet. But if you've made that choice, from my perspective, I don't have a strong, I can't feel a strong problem with people losing the ability to control that. But again, it's just because, you know, I'm not well enough educated or sensitive to the issue, so it, maybe there is a better solution to it. It's just not one that I'm working or worrying about.
But isn't at the core of this question the debate that you probably face every time you come to continental Europe about the moral rights issue, and that these traditions of copyright and author's rights are so different that some of the solutions that you suggest just don't really fly with authors and artists in continental Europe?
Yeah, it is a constant source of debate. I don't think the moral rights issue is as significant a problem. You know, my view is we ought to encourage strong development of moral rights, meaning right of attribution, right to integrity of your work, that your work isn't mischaracterized, at least those elements of moral rights. But from my perspective, we should be fighting over those moral rights in a non-legal context. It's not the sort of subject we should go sue somebody about, it's a subject we should criticize somebody about. So if you use my work without giving me proper attribution, you're a schmuck, and I should say, you're a schmuck, you know, you're a terrible person. Or if you use my work and you quote me and mischaracterize what I've said, other people should write and say, you're ignorant, you haven't actually properly characterized what he said. Those are remedies, they're punishments for respecting my moral rights. But what I don't think I should be able to do is to go in and file a lawsuit against you because you've mischaracterized what my work says, right? I think that's a misuse of the law. The law, this is maybe it's a crudely American libertarian-like sense, but the law I think ought to be narrowed in its place, because when we allow it to expand everywhere, it produces exactly the kind of destructive cycles of resistance that I think I'm talking about in that story.